Good morning.
Good morning.
How you guys? I feel like somebody parted the seas down here. Y'all all went back there. So, that's all right. I'll get you before it's over with. It's good to be with you this morning. I'm excited to get to share the scriptures that we're looking at today and to celebrate Christ's resurrection, and what an awesome day. It's always exciting to get to celebrate this every year together as a church, and today is definitely no different. Before I get too far into that, I want to just make a quick mention of a couple things that are coming up. Ben will talk about them probably with a little more detail, but just want to make a quick mention that we have the Big Give coming up in 2 weeks, and I know that our folks from 24 have been praying over this. This is a thing that we do once a year. It's like a one-time, you know, over and above kind of offering that we do, and it always goes towards something. And this year, you know, we've been raising money for the last couple of years for the Hope Center and a bus and all these different things. And then this year, we've got this what we call the Event Center, the big room that's over here next to the Worship Center that we really need to outfit with equipment. And none of that stuff is cheap. That is going to allow our students to meet in there on Wednesday nights. It's going to allow larger Bible studies to have the media and stuff that they need for the things that they're doing. And then also for us to do things like starting a Celebrate Recovery, which we plan on doing alongside of the things happening like the Hope Center. So, you know, be praying about it. Just be praying about whatever God might lead you to give on that day, I think it's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Also, to kind of go with that, since we were doing that in 2 weeks, it felt just kind of appropriate that we talk about what Jesus says about money, what the Bible says about money next week. And so I'm telling you that so that if you're visiting and you're like, oh, church always talks about money, well, we talk about it like once a year, okay? And so if you come next week, we're going to talk about it. You've been warned. If you don't want to hear about it, skip it, okay? And then come back next week or the week after, you know? So, but seriously, you know, the truth is that Jesus does talk about money a ton. And here's why. It's not guilt or this church surely isn't going to guilt you into giving money. We're the last one to do that. We want people to do what the scriptures show, which is to be led by the Lord in whatever your giving looks like. And the reason that Jesus talked about it so much was because we make an idol out of it. Because we want. And Jesus is like, you don't need that. You need me. Right? And so, you know, we just want people to follow Jesus. That's the thing. He'll change your heart on all the other stuff if you're following him. And that's our goal. And that's our hope here. So anyway, you're warned. All right, let's jump into this. If you've got a Bible, get it out. We're going to the book of Matthew chapter 28. If you don't have a Bible, our ushers will bring you one. You can throw your hand in the air and wave it like you just don't care. And if you don't own one, you can keep that one. We'd love for you to have it and consider it a gift. But please take one if you don't have one. We'd love for you to get it and keep it. Matthew 28 is where we're going today to you know, honestly, some of the most famous scriptures, I think, in all of the Bible, you know, that we have, and twofold for multiple reasons, because we're looking at, there's really a couple of different sections here, but to realize that we wouldn't have one without the other, I think, is a huge piece of the puzzle today. And so I'm actually going to read the whole chapter of Matthew 28, and then we're going to bounce around a little more elsewhere, but why don't we do this? Can we just pray over God's word? Let's pray and ask him to speak to us through it. God, we just come to you and we just ask, Lord, that you would just speak through your word. Lord, it is your word. We want to hear from you. And God, I pray, Lord, that we could do that today. God, thank you, Lord, for giving it to us. I pray that you would move on the hearts that need it. And Lord, in all of our hearts to draw us closer to you and make us more like you. We ask all this today in your son's name. Amen. So Matthew 28, we have one of the accounts of the resurrection of Jesus. Surprise, surprise, I'm talking about the resurrection of Jesus today, right? And so, but if you look at the different gospels, you'll see that there's these, you know, different nuances. And if you're unfamiliar, we've been talking about this a little bit, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament in the Bible, are known as the Gospels, and they are four different accounts of Jesus' life. So imagine four of your closest friends writing an account of what they know about your life. You're immediately thinking, I would never want my friends to write anything about my life. I am afraid of what they would say. But these were folks that gave account of Jesus' life, that were close to Jesus. And so if you look at that, you find different details in different ones. And I love that. And I love honestly, I really love this account of the resurrection of Jesus for a couple things. We'll get into that here in just a minute. But this is the one that we're going to study on today. And really because I wanted us to kind of see the whole chapter together and be reminded of what God did in giving us his word and us being able to see all of this play out. So let's look at this. Matthew 28, verse 1, and it says this. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake." Anytime in Scripture there's a great earthquake, some junk's about to go down, okay? And so there was a great earthquake, and it says, "For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it." By the way, that little nugget of joy might be one of my most favorite pieces in all of Scripture. And I really wish I'd give money just to know what was the facial expression on that angel that day when he rolled it back and then sat on it. Was he like, "Oh yeah," you know? I mean, like, I that's what I want to believe. It's probably not what is, you know, he probably was just like, you know, stone, I don't know. Or, you know, maybe he had a smile. I don't know. Maybe he was like grinning like, mm-hmm, yeah, I did that. You know, but either way, the angel rolls the stone back, okay, and he sets on it, and it says in verse 3, "His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men." Soldiers playing possum right here, okay? The carts trembled and became like dead men. They are pretending to be dead. They're like, "Oh, we're afraid to just be dead." You know, I don't know. And so then verse 5, it goes on and says, "But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen.' And he said, 'Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy." I love that. They've got fear and joy at the same time. With fear and great joy, "and ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings,' and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Can you imagine being those ladies that day? What in the world had to be going through their heads? You know, I mean, first of all, they get the whole thing with the angel. I mean, we got looking like lightning and white as snow, and we got earthquakes, and he's rolling stones and setting on them, and I mean, just the whole shebang. I mean, the angel's pulling out all the stops here, right? And so then he's like, "Go tell the boys. Go tell his boys that he is on his way, that he is here," right? And so they leave to go, and on the way, they run into Jesus. And he's like, "Greetings. What's up?" You know? And I'm just imagining, like, you know, I remember seeing like video of like, you know, these girls at Michael Jackson concerts and stuff where they'd be like fainting in the front rows and stuff, you know? I'm just imagining like the moment that they saw Jesus, like one of them starting to fall over and the other one's trying to catch her, you know, I don't know. But anyway, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And so again, they get this same kind of, you know, thing of like, you know, "Hey, go and tell them. Go tell the guys. I'm coming. I'll meet them in Galilee. I'll see them there." This is such an honor for them. And I'm thinking, like, you know, what it must have been like for them to have this moment where they get to go and share this good news, right? You know, I don't know about you, but I love sharing good news. I got to share some good news to some people middle of this past week after a couple of crazy days, and man, it was honestly such an honor, and such a just loved being in that moment and knowing about something a lot of other people don't know about or whatever, but just happy about it, just excited and seeing God working and all that kind of stuff, and they were excited to receive it, you know. And so then, you know, I think about, you know, this happens a lot at our house, is that my, and this drives my wife crazy, is that, you know, it has almost turned into, and I didn't turn it into, I think she's turning it into this, where it's like some kind of, like, you know, competition of who knows about stuff going on with people before the other one. And so, look, she's shaking her head, yes. She is turning it into a competition. I am not. I am innocent, and I am just, you know, being, yeah, I'm whatever. And so I'm a victim. And so anyway, she, you know, she'll come to me and say, she'll be like, hey, do you know who's, I know something, you know who's having a baby? And she'll get ready to tell me, and I'll go, so-and-so? And she'll be like, oh, you know, and then she'll like stomp off or something, you know, not really all that much, but anyway, it really like gets her, you know, and then every once in a while, she'll have like a little friend or something that knows that she feels this way and will like tell her something so she can tell me, and she'll be like, I knew before you, you know, and I'm like, whatever, you know, but you know, it's fun, right, to tell good news. It's fun to tell good news. And they are getting to tell this news, not just anybody, but to the disciples, to the guys who've been with Jesus through his ministry, and all of this stuff leading up to this horrible moment that they've all had to go through of seeing their friend, their loved one, their Lord crucified on the cross. And we've been talking about that. We talked about it on Friday, and we spent a lot of time in Scripture about the cross and the things that Jesus went through. Why? Why did Jesus have to go through all the suffering? Why did he have to be crucified on a cross? Why did he have to be killed? Well, here's the basic of why. And if you don't know the gospel, hopefully this is a basic understanding for you. And it's this, that we have this understanding that Scripture teaches us that we're sinners. All have fallen short of the glory of God, that we're all sinners, right? And then also that our sin has a penalty, and the penalty is death. But God, who loves us, sent his son Jesus to die in our place, that if we believe in him, if we trust in him, that his death takes place of the death that we deserve for our sin. I don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. And that's why it's called grace. It's undeserved. It's a gift given to us that we didn't earn, because we're not good enough. I'm not good enough. But Jesus is good enough. I want to read this next passage to you. I think this, I find it humorous, but I mean, it's part of our history here. And in verse 11, it says this, and it says, while they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. Can you imagine telling that story? Like, okay, now we're going to go to the higher ups, and I'm sure like the whole way back, they're arguing like, no, you got to tell them. No, you got to tell them. No, you got to tell them. I'm not telling them. I didn't see anything. I was pretending to be dead, you know, or something along those lines, right? And they get back and they're having to tell the higher-ups, like, hey, we got a problem. Jesus isn't in the tomb, and there was an angel, and he rolled the stone away, and it scared us, and we played possum and pretended to be dead, and because we were afraid we were going to die. And so we just figured you should know, right? You should know. And so then we have this in verse 12, and it says, and when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. This is what I refer to as the weekend at Bernie's theology here. All right? We're gonna go get our dead friend and we're gonna drag him around and pretend to get everybody to believe that he's alive, right? That works so well. Only in the 80s could movies like that exist, right? And in verse 13 it says, and said, tell people his disciples came by night, stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. Well, I mean, that's all the soldiers needed to hear right there. Like, you know, hey, you know, look, if you take the money and you go tell the lie, when it comes up to the governor, we got your backs, okay? This is it. We're gonna keep him from killing you, because that's probably what would have happened, right? And so it says, so verse 15, surprise, so they took the money and did as they were directed, and this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. So here we see part of, you know, our history. But then in verse 16, we come back to Jesus appearing to the disciples. Now, I want you to think about something. And again, I think about the timing of things, and I think about the timing of the cross, and I think about the timing of the resurrection, and that whole week we've been talking about that leading up to the cross, from the triumphant entry to the time in which the crucifixion happened, and all the things that Jesus taught during that time. Again, like a quarter to a third of every one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are during that time period in that week. Then we have things like this that are afterwards, right? And we don't have as much stuff afterwards, but this one sure seems important. And to most of us that have been believers for any length of time could probably agree that this passage of Scripture is one of those passages that we cling to and see as like the mission in which God has given us into living our lives. And it says this in verse 16, it says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And we see that in some of the other Gospels. We get the details of Thomas. We see the conversation with Peter. I mean, all these things. So, you know, again, get to read the different Gospels. Get to get the different details of different things, right? And it's verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. He's saying, go to every people group in the world. To everyone, don't leave anyone out, and share with them the gospel. Take them the good news of Jesus coming to save them from their sin, to give them new life, to give them everlasting life, right? And he says, go and therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. In other words, all of Scripture, let them know what it says. Tell them what I've been saying. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And we have this promise that he is always going to be with us. We wouldn't have that passage of Scripture if Jesus didn't come back. By the way, that's the one thing that we have that is different from all of the quote-unquote religions in the world. By the way, I'm not a religious person, and I don't want to be. I'm a Christ follower, okay? And anyone else that says, well, my God's the same as your God, no other came back to life. No other resurrected from that. If we hadn't had the resurrection, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be getting in our Easter best and going to church and all these things and, you know, and having, you know, lunch at grandma's or whatever it is, right? For those of us that are believers, this is huge. To really think we have what we call the Great Commission, probably the greatest commission, in which Jesus came back and gave this to us. We wouldn't have victory over our own death if he hadn't come back. But in him we have victory. You may say, Chris, I'm not good enough. I can't even imagine God loving me enough for the junk that I've done in my life. I understand that feeling. Romans 5 says this. Romans 5 and verse 6. It says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say that while we were still weak, Christ died for the godly people. It doesn't say that Christ died for all the church-going people. It doesn't say that Christ died for everybody that got their junk together. No. "For while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That means while we were still in the struggle, right? You see, folks, God's not looking for us to get ourselves cleaned up and then come to him. He's looking for us to come to him and then him be the one that cleans us up. He's the one that's going to change our lives. He's the one that's going to save us. We can't save ourselves. God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in verse 9, "Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." Justified. There's one of those church words, right? We hear a word like, "Oh, I don't know what that means. I don't, you know, whatever." Justified means to be made righteous. It means this. It means that if we've believed and trusted in Jesus as our Savior, that when God sees us, instead of seeing us with all the wrong stuff that we've done in life, all this sin in our life, instead of seeing that, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. We've been made clean, white as snow, right? He shows his love for us while we were still sinners, and we've been justified and saved from God's wrath. No death, only eternal life. But Chris, I'm still not good enough. You're right, you're not. Anybody that knows me well knows that one of the things that I do when I have a little bit of some spare time, and I don't get to watch a lot of TV, but when I am watching TV, I am more than likely watching a gold mining show. Some of you have heard me talk about this before. It's because it's the only thing I've got to talk about when it comes to TV, mostly. I don't know what my infatuation is. I figured out last night after looking at how many seasons of at least the main one has been going, that it's been 14 years of me watching these shows. And, you know, it's not enough that they just made one. Because I have seen every minute of every episode, granted some of them maybe while I'm studying or working or doing something else that's on and maybe I'm not like completely tuned, but I'm listening, I'm kind of back and forth watching, oh no, the wash plant fell apart, whatever, you know. And but of every episode of Gold Rush, Bering Sea Gold Under the Ice, Gold Mine Rescue with Freddie and Juan, Aussie Gold Hunters, Dave Turin's Lost Mine, Gold Rush, Winter Fortune, Hoffman Family Gold, and one of my favorites, Gold Rush, Whitewater. Because it's not enough just to dig it out of the ground or suck it up off the seafloor. Let's go to raging rapids and try to dig under the water to get the gold that's in the bottom of those rivers and creeks out, because it's going to be amazing, right? Unbelievable. Here's the thing. I feel like I have seen so much of this at this point. I know the degree that a sluice box needs to be set up at. Freddie Dodge taught me so. And I am pretty sure at this point that with some of you and your skills at running equipment, that we could leave right now and go tomorrow to the Klondike and start gold mining, as long as we could get our CAT sponsorship. And some of you work for Caterpillar, you need to help me with that, right? But the one thing that drives me nuts about the gold mining thing. And this is, you know, kind of one of these little OCD things. One of the things that drives me nuts is it doesn't matter how good you are, and it doesn't matter how good your equipment is and how perfect it might be set up, there's always a little bit of gold that makes it out the other end. And I watch these piles, they call them their tailings, right? These piles of rocks that they have washed to try to get all the gold out of it or whatever. And I every time I see these things, I'm thinking, there's still gold in that. You didn't get it all, you know? I see people make mistakes on those shows, and I'm like, I know better than that, right? At this point, we've got 14 years in on this. No gold removal gets it all. And no matter how hard I try, I can't save myself. I can't save myself. I can try, and I can try, and I can be really good, but I'll tell you what, I'll never be good enough. I'll never be good enough. I need Jesus, and so do you. Psalm 103, verse 11 says this, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." Think about all the things that you've done in life. Think about all the times you've messed up. Think about all the times that you've sinned, all the wrong things, all the bad thoughts, all the crimes that you've committed. I know some of you are guilty. All the people you've let down, all the mistakes you've made. That passage helps us to see that the Lord doesn't just help us deal with it, he removes it. As far as the east is from the west. How in the world far is that? So far, he's saying that far is where he removes our transgressions from us too. Folks, he removes them. Not some of them. Some of them aren't lost and in the tailings at the other end. No, no. He removes all of them. Every single one of them. Every sin, every offense, every crime, every wrong, every bad thing, every bad habit, every fault, every evil thing, every vice, every broken law, every violation, every disobedience, every defiant act, every terrible thought, every wicked thing has been removed. If you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior, removed. Not helping us, he removed it. Why? How? How? How did he do it? Because he won. Because he defeated it all. Every last thing has been defeated through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. Why? Because he loves us. He loves me. He loves you. What do I do, Chris? What do I do to what am I supposed to do? Surrender your life to Jesus. Believe in him. Let him be the Lord of your life. Do it now. Do it today. Do it this morning. It came at a great cost. It came at Jesus giving his life, but God's grace is given freely to anyone who would believe in him. And the payoff is the greatest junk removal of all time. Made new, new life, everlasting life, forever. We live with the Lord. But Chris, I still make mistakes. You're right, we do. What do I do? We fall down and we get up. Because the blood of Jesus covers those things too. The resurrection of Jesus means this, that the removal has been completed. It's done. None left behind. Sin has been defeated. Death has been defeated. Trust it, believe it, surrender to it, and quit trying to do it on your own. You never will. I'll never be good enough to remove the junk in my life. But I promise His grace is enough. He is enough. Let Him remove your junk today. If you're here and you've never trusted and believed in Christ as your Savior, you'd like to talk and pray about that, I'll be in the foyer as soon as I walk off the stage. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to talk with you. If you feel like God is speaking to your heart, listen. Listen. Come pray. Let's talk about it. Let's pray now. God, we come to you, Lord, and we ask, Lord, for your clarity in helping us to decipher the gospel in our own lives. Help us, Lord, to understand what it is that you have for us. God, we've come to you today only because of your grace and only because of what you've done through Jesus on the cross. And as I quote to you in prayer, the song that we sing, up from the grave, he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Lord, thank you. Thank you for purchasing us away from our sin, away from our own death, and giving us life. God, I pray for anyone, Lord, that is thinking right now about trusting and believing in you. God, I pray that you would do that work in their heart, lead them, guide them, save them today. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.